We're going to kick off today's show with our Adelphi Performance of the Week. There were so many we could reach for from last weekend, but I decided to go for one that has a connection to Adelphi Racing. World record. Funny enough, world record has a connection to me in a sense as well, because this is a half to one of our old horses, Solivo Spritz. World record was so impressive in that nightcap on Monday at Churchill Downs. You hear a lot about Eagle's Flight and the impressive 89 figure that he ran out there. Well, world record ran an 89 as well and looked very professional in doing so. Very, very good weekend to choose from. But let's use that Adelphi connection vis-a-vis Solivo Spritz and give the Adelphi Performance of the Week to world record. Very much looking forward to talking a lot more about Adelphi Racing as the season goes on. As you know, I don't just read the ads. I'm also a member of this club, like-minded individuals pursuing the goal of having fun at the races. And nobody does a better job than Matt Kater when it comes to informing the partners, keeping them posted. I've learned so much from him in the year plus I've been with the club, and I'm looking forward to what comes next. For more, check out AdelphiRacing.com. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. This is our show for Friday, May 31st. Peter Thomas Fornital back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again. And we've got a lot to get to, so we're going to get right into it with our first guest appearing on the show for the first time on the heels of a big win in the Gold Cup Challenge, I think was the official name of the Express Bet contest. Last Monday, he put together a good run in there. I've seen his name on leaderboards before, but really, this is the first time we're meeting. Very excited to get to know a little more about Jay Cota. Jay, what's going on?
Not too much, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Give me the rundown of the contest on Monday. Were you hitting them all day? Was it just a good day? Was there just a spot or two? What were the big moments for you?
It was a spot or two, I would say, and kind of the way that I typically play, going after the big hits. So things started getting rolling in the fifth race. Loved a horse by the name of Princess Midnight, who sure. I thought had a real chance to win at 47-1. I was very excited about that. I was surprised to see 47-1 odds. So I coupled Princess Midnight with, I think, three other horses, and fortunately, he was in the back of the pack most of the way and made a great charge, and I coupled him up with Not a Sinner and had a big payout starting in the fifth race.
One thing very nice in live bankroll play, you don't have to worry about those odds caps you see in the Mythical. You get paid every dime for coming up with a big overcap horse like that. Where do you typically play, or are you all over the map in terms of Mythical money and live bankroll and all like that?
I do a lot of NHC qualifiers, so the pick and praise, but I definitely prefer and have more fun and have had more success in the live betting format. I go out to our local track here. I'm in Minneapolis area, so Canterbury Downs, and I go out there for fun and play. But most of the competitions and tournaments that I like to play are the live bettors.
Sure. There's a lot of fun and flexibility in how you can do it there. And
yep,
you hit on one of the best places to do it over at ExpressBet and our friends over there, expressbet.com/tournaments, the place to go. Folks can get in on, you can play ExpressBet for the Pick Your Prize contest that's coming up. You also have the opportunity to look at various feeders and qualifiers for other big events they have. We encourage people to go there. What about yourself? What's next on your contest docket?
You know, I haven't really thought about it. I did. I chose to, they had the choice between NHC and the Pegasus, and I went with Pegasus, which isn't until January. But I think me and my wife are going to head down there in person and have a great time there. So really looking forward to that.
That's terrific. And maybe you win your NHC seat there. You get to have your cake and eat it too.
Exactly. Yep. And I'm going to play some NHC. Thought, you know, took a gamble and thought maybe, you know, I can qualify for that another way, and just really was looking forward to that Pegasus. So I chose that one.
I think it's smart. If you're playing a lot, you can only have the two NHCs. You can't transfer those. So correct. If you're playing a lot, it's quite possible you're going to max qualify anyway. And at the end of the year, you look back and say, oh, I should have taken that Pegasus seat. So I don't mind.
That's the plan.
I don't mind that at all.
I want to ask you, you
mentioned one of my questions. I always see if I can get out of people when I have them on, contest players, for the first time. You told me where you are geographically near Canterbury. They've been a partner in the past, hoping to get them back in the mix this year as well, because they do some terrific BCBC qualifying action in the fall. But the other questions I always want to know is, if you don't mind telling me, how old you are and what you do for a living.
Yeah, I'm 60 years old. I hit the big 60 last year. I have a landscape architecture business here in Minneapolis for 25 years called O2 Design.
Nice.
And, you know, that keeps me pretty busy between that and play a lot of tournament golf. Got 5 kids with 3 grandchildren.
Wow.
Who are all living with me and my wife right now. So,
oh my God, that's great.
So it's a busy house, and I just love to get away and play the horses. Definitely, you know, a side hobby. I just started doing these tournaments and competing 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. And how did you get into it? Where did you, that seems, you know, that's not that common of a time to, you know, a lot of people got into it, you know, pandemic or the Horse Players TV show, but 2 years, that's an interesting time frame. What was
that? Well, I've had an Express Bet account and love it for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, and would just play, you know, just kind of get away from things and just play a race here and there. And there were always these advertisements or, you know, things saying, well, you can compete in this tournament, you can do this. So I decided to do it. It was March of 22. And I think it was a Santa Anita Challenge. And $500 entry. And I finished third place.
Nice.
And that was my introduction. I got free entry into the next race or the next contest, which was in April. And I finished fourth in that one. So then I got free entry into the Kentucky Derby Challenge and ended up winning that. So that was my introduction. My first three.
So you've got a lot of success, a couple of outright wins in 2 years. Do you play similarly every time? Is it like what you described, finding a big overlay and keying on that? How would you describe your strategy that you've had so much success with in these Express Bet tournaments?
I definitely look for the big overlay. I don't know. A guy by the name of Dave Kingman came to my mind where, you know, you just
home run or strike out. Is that where you're going with this?
Exactly. Yeah. And
a dated reference for the youngsters listening, but I'm trying to think who the modern equivalent of Dave Kingman is. But the first name that came to mind is also still long retired. I thought of Rob Deer. There's got to be a better modern equivalent of the home run or strike out.
Well, there's getting to be more and more these days. So
that's right.
Everybody likes the long ball. Yeah.
Are you a Twins fan?
I am a Twins fan. Yeah, I have partial season tickets, and they're got off to a terrible start, but they're on a bit of a roll right now. So hopefully they can finish it out.
Too much talent to be off form for too long. And I'll tell you, my man Pablo Lopez has been unlucky. He's going to be better for you in the.
He will be, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, enough baseball chatter. Let's get back to racing. You were kind enough to agree to take a look at these Santa Anita races, the last 5 on Saturday. It's not the ridiculously awesome card of Monday, but it's still some pretty darn good racing. We kick it off with a maiden special weight going a mile on a turf. Did you have a particular thought in here?
Well, yeah, I did. I mean, if the contest was you got to pick the winner, and that's it, I would definitely land with one time Mark,
the one runner.
I think he's the most consistent. Could have won his last 5 races, if you look at it. So I think if he's on, he's probably the horse to beat, but I wanted to go with a Exacta and get a little more value. So I'm going to go with Nitty, which I believe is the two.
Yep.
I'm kind of a sucker for the Irish blood, for one thing, on the turf runners. I thought on April 7th race, he got pushed way out in the first turn and still finished okay. And he closed beautifully on March 16th and, you know, shipped in Leonard Powell is hot. And I think a big improvement is possible for him. So I coupled him with Nuclear and Bartholdi.
1-2-5-9. Would take the approach of keying the one or take the approach of keying the two with a little bit more value?
Keying the two. Yeah. And one time mark I did not include.
Even though you thought yep. that was the most likely winner, you decided from a.
I think he's definitely beatable, though. Okay. You know, just, yeah, he would be my pick if I had to pick a winner. But I go Nitty coupled with Nuclear and Bartholdi.
2-5-9 make that. I did put one time mark on top just because I did see a gap between him and the rest of the field. Of course, I think is probably a little better at this mile distance. Beyond him, though, I thought it looked open, and your horse, Nitty, was the one I came up with. First time gelding. I thought that race back, like you indicated, very strong, might be your best closer. And then I also had Bartholdi in the mix, another first-time gelding, who I thought had an opportunity to maybe prove to be the best speed in here, a horse that seemed to not like the crossover when coming over the dirt course down the hill last time. A mile should suit this one well. So we're similar there. We're very similar in our handicapping opinions, taking slightly different betting approaches as we move to race number six. Just the four horses here. I thought it was Dr. Venkman's day to shine, number one. I think this is going to be a tactical affair. This horse won the pace battle but lost the war last time. But here's the thing, critical time to grow up since then. That was 224 days ago. So you figure in some improvement for age. This horse looks to be working well, and Freysu's been riding well. I'm hoping this horse just guns, gets good position from the rail, and I'll make a little pop culture reference. You're in the right age bracket to get this one. If Dr. Venkman wins, he can tell his friends back at the barn, back off, man. I'm a graded stakes winner. Ghostbusters, you got to go for it.
I love the Ghostbusters. I love Bill Murray. And that was the number one reason I took Dr. Venkman, I would say. But because he is a star. Now, if he returns to the form, I think he's definitely the class. And Mark Glatt, 27%, 180 plus days. So
yep.
Like him a lot. If I had an Exacta, I would just go Venkman on top with Happy Jack would be my second pick.
Yeah, he ran a very fast race last time, didn't he? And curious to see how that form holds up. If that improvement's real, he could be drawn live for everything. But yeah, we're in lockstep reading from the same hymn book on that one. 1-2 in the triple bend. Let's move on to the grade three honeymoon for the three-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Jay, we'll keep it with you.
Okay. I ended up in a Exacta box with Circle of Trust. And Pink Whitney. So getting a little value there. Circle of Trust, I thought in the Providencia was maybe the best horse. He had a major check. I don't know if it was going into the first turn or coming out of the first turn. And I thought at the end of the race that he was the best horse. So I'm going to go with Circle of Trust and Pink Whitney, I thought, also ran decent in the Providencia. And I thought that there's kind of an unusual training method here. If I'm reading this right, Pink Whitney ran on May 17th, yep. May 24th, and now again on May 31st.
You don't see that a lot.
And Doug O'Neill, I'm not going to question him, and I think that may be just a little something different that might give Pink Whitney a spark.
Yeah, she'll be sharp.
Nothing technical, but you know, I'm going to go with those two and hopefully get some value on Pink Whitney.
I've found value in that angle in the past. Just the idea of good trainer doing something weird.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe weird's the wrong word. Good trainer doing something unusual. I just did a video with JK about the Belmont, our current top five for the Belmont Stakes. And I wanted to inch Tuscan Gold in just because I thought it was so unusual. Chad Brown bringing one back off a race like that in 3 weeks. It's different, but a similar angle here where you see a good trainer, they're doing something a little unusual. You take notice. And at a big price, I'm not going to argue with you. I will say, generally speaking, we're a bit oppo in here. I thought Faith Understood was the one I wanted. This is assuming she goes here. She is cross-entered in the Regret at Churchill, a race where she'd be a big long shot. But I think she looks real good in this spot. Improving type, the East Coast turf form, shipping west, which I always like. And I think this horse could get the exact kind of trip that she wants, either on the pace or sitting just off what looks to only be a measured gallop. I did want to throw the 4 Sea Dancer in there as well. Nice move forward last time in terms of the figure. My fear with Sea Dancer is, was it the Lasix that moved her up last time? If so, that's going to make it tricky. So I don't trust her. And I'll take a longer look at yours as ones maybe to pair in addition to my top pick, number 3, Faith Understood. Let's move on to race number 8. We've got a maiden claimer at the $50,000 level. We're going 6 furlongs on the dirt. In this spot, and I'll go first in this one. I thought that it's not a creative opinion, but I think a lot of people are going to look at the 9 and the 10. I really want to try to separate them because I really like Cody Boy in this spot. The horse last time contested a fast pace on a track that seemed tilted to closers. I thought the horse stuck on well there, and I feel like it has the right kind of draw to get a good forward trip, not necessarily on the rail where you don't always want to be at Santa Anita, but I think should be in good shape. And as for Last Call Paul, I'm not going to fight with anybody who puts this horse as one of the main contenders based on the speed figures, but this horse has just had maybe one too many tries where was able to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory for me. I was going to just try to get out with the 9 in this spot, but I could also see getting creative. I couldn't figure out which horse to get creative with, so I was going to stick with the 9. But how about you? Are you with me with the 9, or do you like the 10, or can you get cute?
I definitely like Cody Boy. Is Cody the 8?
That's the 9.
That's the 9. Yeah, I'm right with you on Cody Boy. I'm using him definitely in my exacta, and I'm going with Big Baby, and coupling Big Baby with both Artist Point and Cody Boy. I thought dropping in class pretty significantly. He's got a long layoff, but Mark Glatt is high percentage, plus 180 days.
Yep.
Maiden special weight to maiden claiming, he's 42%.
That's big.
And, you know, I thought he ran pretty good in the last good works, finished mid pack in a 84K special weight. So I'm going with Big Baby on top. And I'm going to couple him up with Artist Point and Cody Boy.
All right. We can easily both win there. I like that. I prefer when we're on the same page to the Oppo races, though. It's good to have a mix of both. We close things out with race number 9, our nightcap, 8:08 Eastern, the scheduled post time for this allowance race for fillies and mares 3 and up going a mile on a turf. If we were playing this as a contest, if we were playing this as a late pick 5, there'd be a key question, and I'll ask it to you now, Jay. How are we going to get paid?
We are going to go Dave Kingman on this one.
You got to be straight for us.
We're down. We need a big hit right here, and I think we're going to get it with Belle Cherie.
Let's hear this case. I love it.
You know, not far behind. 16 Arches. I mean, you know, not an outstanding comparison or horse to compare with, but not far behind. Cut back, I think, from a mile and an eighth will help this horse a lot. Tends to poop out a little bit on a mile and an eighth. Simon Callahan, two off of 180 is 30%. Won his maiden at special weight 83K. So I think that he can surprise people in this one. And I'm not only going with that horse as a big long shot, but Jamie's Inheritance as well.
Another 20 to 1 on the morning line. I definitely see your case with El Cherie. Looking at pace figures on Timeform US, they do all these mile and an eighth races. They drop off significantly from the second to last call to the final. Yep. Seems like she's probably crying out for the cutback. I'm absolutely buying the case on that one. Give me the case on Jamie's Inheritance.
Well, shipping from Turfway, so you never know. There's some unknowns there. Second in the last one at 40 to 1, which was a mile on the turf. Three wins, 3 seconds, 13 lifetime. This horse is stepping up a little bit, but I believe that can definitely compete in this race and could easily be there at the end, at least as a part of an exotic.
Yeah.
And I'm going with a three horse box in this one, those two with Mahina. So I feel like that's the most consistent horse in this field. 3 for 8 on the turf at this level and will definitely close hard for a share.
I mean, those are some really good cases on long shots and ones that I'll probably be looking to work in as an exacta partner with my top pick, much less creative. Number two, Big Summer. I just thought she had some good back races and maybe that last run was just a leg stretcher off the bench going from the 6.5 on the downhill to the mile. I thought could set her up well. And then one other I wanted to mention, and this one will be a bit price dependent. I could see betting against if too short, but the 6 Ruggle I thought was worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. Burned money in the last two, but I thought would actually be a price today and the best race fits. And I also thought would be in a good attacking spot, if not on the lead. But boy, those are some super creative cases that make a lot of sense on your 4 and your 9. So I think we've given people a lot to chew on in this Santa Anita late pick 5. Jay, we'll be looking for you on the leaderboard and really appreciate your time today.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on, Peter.
If you're looking for information about Monmouth and Pick Your Prize, got good news for you. We have a whole other show devoted to it. You can find that elsewhere in your podcast feed or over on our YouTube channel. Pick Your Prize, one of the best contest opportunities all year. If you go to the Monmouth Park website, you'll have an opportunity to find all the information. You can play in person at the track. $2,000 buy-in. Last year, the prize pool paid down to 33rd place. Really one of the best opportunities all year. Very flat prize structure. Great place to win an NHC seat, a BCBC seat, or just cash, and you can still get involved. You have the opportunity to play online at TVG or via ExpressBet. For more information, once again, go to monmouthpark.com and search for Pick Your Prize. The 2024 edition promises to be one of the best yet. Next up on the show, one of our most versatile talents here at In the Money Media. Lately, you've been reading his analysis of Monmouth, including his full write-up of the Pick Your Prize card, which will be up on the website soon. Actually, by the time you're listening to this, it probably already is up or won't be too long. I had the great pleasure of meeting him at one of his places of work out in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on City Island at the amazing minor league baseball field. I wasn't allowed to throw out the first pitch at that one, but I still did have an incredibly good time. Welcome back, Eric Solomon. Eric, how are things?
Things are good, Peter. How are you?
Doing great. Really looking forward to it's in some senses, it's a calm before the storm weekend without New York running, but this is a good card at Monmouth, Saturday and Sunday, both good cards at Monmouth. Mm-hmm. Coverage of Sunday at Monmouth. You'll be doing your write-up for free over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, but it sounds like you also might be a guest on the plus side with Mike P, which will be super fun. But this Churchill card is terrific, and I'm glad we're going to get a chance to dive in and talk about it. Obviously, you're looking at Monmouth all the time this time of year. What other tracks do you look at, or does it really just depend on what your the rest of your busy life schedule holds.
I mean, I always have an eye on New York. You know, just kind of seeing what they're doing, especially with Saratoga coming up in, you know, about a month and a half before, you know, the little appetizer weekend next weekend up there. But you know, keep an eye there, keep an eye on Kentucky, and you know, anything local, you know, I love getting down to Delaware if I have a chance. It's not too far from here. You know, a lot of shipping between, you know, Delaware, Maryland, Penn National parks into Monmouth and, you know, around the region. So just trying to at least stay current on what's going on there as well.
Very cool. Let's dive in to this stakes festooned card at Churchill Downs. We'll start with race number 6, 3:18 Eastern is the scheduled post time for the Arlington Stakes. We're going a mile and a 16th on the turf. And when it comes to this, this pick six of stakes we're going to be talking about, how do you want to light this candle?
I mean, I think Ottoman Fleet's going to be pretty tough in here. It was a big effort in the Fort Marcy, actually two big efforts in a row. That race at Newmarket was strong in Group 3 company back in April as well. Definitely going to have this one on my tickets, but I kind of think Irish Aces on the outside, a little interesting in this race. You know, this horse is an improving four-year-old. We see these kind of four-year-olds jump up from time to time. And I like the pattern, what I've seen from him from a speed figure perspective, really since he's got on the turf. I thought his last two races are better than they look on paper. Both races, he kind of got stuck in behind traffic. And kind of as horses were starting to quicken as they made their move on the turn, he kind of was in behind traffic and lost momentum a little bit both times. Still finished with interest in both races. I like that he's drawn the outside here, and I think his horse could be sitting on a better race here, and I think the price is right at 15-1. I think Ottoman Fleet's going to get bet down below the 9-5 morning line, and you know the price could float up a little higher on this one. So those are going to be the two that I'm going to kind of focus on in this race, and then the weather could be a little bit of an issue if the turf stays firm. I'm going to back up with Emmanuel, the two horse for Pletcher. But if it winds up being good or yielding, depending on what time those showers come through, you know, being a 48 hours out right now, it's hard to kind of predict that, but, Smoke and Tea on a good or yielding course would be the horse I would kind of use in that backup spot, the three.
Ooh, I like that. I like the you giving us the specifics of the approach there too. That's a really interesting case on Irish Aces, and at 15-1 on the morning line, I was concerned about the setup, but you're going to have enough juice in the price to take a shot. And I also think that's an interesting one to be an exacta partner with the likes of Ottoman Fleet in here, regardless of the setup. Almost, I mean, Ottoman Fleet, I think, has the ability, looking at some internal pace figures, maybe to make his own luck a little bit more. But I don't know. Looking at it, I said that off of what I remembered from looking at the race, but the pace figures in the Moonis from Irish Aces, that's a really interesting sneaky horse that I will definitely be working on tickets on your say-so. When I looked at the race, I just couldn't get past Ottoman Fleet, best form in the race with runs against the likes of Up to the Mark. Was probably supposed to win last time, but at least Masterpiece is a pretty good horse on his best day, so I wasn't going to hold that too much against him. I really do have class questions about a lot of the, you know, the second, third choice types in here, so I was going to stick with Ottoman Fleet. I'll nick your idea of getting some Irish Aces in there. And Emmanuel, look, maybe this is going to be a classic case of what's known as the commentator's curse, where you notice something that's an anomaly, and then the second you say it, it just regresses to the mean. But the form of the Pletcher barn right now is just terrible. Bet Pletcher go out on a stretcher at the moment, which is a funny thing to say about one of the best trainers I've ever seen. But I did bother to pull the numbers. 3 for 57 in the last month. Two of the winners shorter than 1-2. And obviously lots of bet horses in there. I've always liked Emmanuel, and I don't mind that idea of backing up on a firm surface, but I did want to bother to share that idea before we moved on to race number 7, the Aristides, going 6 furlongs on the dirt. And I'm boring, so I'll go first. This is also a bit of a hunch play with me, having just worked on a new podcast, On the Lead with the Jockey Club, co-hosted by Shannon Kelly, who in some of her social media, I don't think she has any that are just S. Kelly, a.k.a. Skelly, but it's pretty close to that. Made me think of her right away. But the reality is Skelly is just the fastest horse with a probable pace advantage in this spot. I swear I'll try to get a little bit creative later, but for me, Skelly looked like more than just a hunch play in this spot. And I'll give an exacta partner as well in the form of number one, Tejano Twist. Did run second to Skelly two back. Last time was a tricky trip. And I think this could set up all right for a closer saving ground to come running for a slice behind Skelly, who I think will burn off all of the other speed. That's how I see it. Any more creativity from you in the Aristides?
Yeah, I've been a fan of this horse for a while. I think this horse first caught my eye last year in at Oaklawn. I think it was a March race and non-winners of the two race. It was just absolutely laden with speed, and he just blew him away. Some fast horses in that race, and really ever since he's just been on an absolute tear. I love that Asmussen. He knows what he has with this horse. This horse is a fast 6 furlong horse. He's not trying him at 7. He's not getting fancy. He's looking for the best spot for him, and you know, a $275,000 race for 6 furlongs, absolutely for a 5-year-old gelding who's just in great form. I don't see any reasonable horse, reasonable play against him here.
Gotcha. All right. We'll keep it simple there, and we'll move on to the grade 3 Shawnee fillies and mares 4 and up, going a mile and a 16th on the dirt. And Eric, we'll keep it with you.
I had a heck of a time with this race. I can tell you that on any of my horizontal tickets, though, I'm not going to use Malloy the 2. I'm not going to use Take a Stand the 4, and I'm not going to use Hoosier Philly the 8. I just don't think those three horses are fast enough to win this race. But outside of that, I thought this race was really hard. The morning line favorite, Kijera, I get it was the first start in 6 months on a sloppy track in the La Trienne, but that was a bad effort. And you just have to wonder, was this horse, just kind of catching lightning in a bottle last year with those three big races? And, she was absolutely dominant in those three, the Seneca, the Mother Goose, and the Fall City. Just no competition in those races. And, from a pace perspective, it looks like she could get that kind of trip here, like she did in those three races. But you just got to wonder is if she's going to be that good right now. I'll use her, and I'll probably use her on the A line here. But I ended up with Bellamore as my top pick. Not super confident. I think she's better than the Apple Blossom race. I think it was a rough trip. She was just wide the whole way. Adair Manor just kind of threw down the gauntlet there, and had the right setup, and she just was loaded that day. I'm willing to draw a line through that. I think she's pretty consistent. I liked her race at Sam Houston back in January. I thought her effort in the Azari was better than it looks on paper as well. I think she kind of fits from a pace standpoint in this race. She could be on the lead. She could be sitting off the lead. But I think she's going to be in a good position. So I'll use her, Kijera, and then also throw in Hidden Connection on the A line. That horse, you never know what that horse is going to do. But again, should be at least in the neighborhood there. I would probably, depending on how deep we can go on, I don't mind Magical Loot. I think that last race was pretty good. I love at Keeneland. Might have some upside there, the 4-year-old filly. Wet Paint, I just don't see her getting the right trip in this race. She certainly has the ability to kind of throw that big race, but I just don't know if sitting seventh or so in this race is really where the winner is going to come from. And the other one, Scylla, the end result was really good last time, but Javier really had to work, and I did not like, and she kind of did the same thing in the Double Dog Dare where she just kind of idled before, and he really had to start pushing her. And then she responded a little bit, but I didn't like that race at Keeneland. That was the first time at 2 turns. So I do wonder, maybe she'll be a little more effective at those 1-turn mile races there. I'll back up with her, but Again, I just had a heck of a time with this one.
Give me your graded for me into A's and B's. I took some notes, but I got a little.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna put 5, 6, 9 on the A line, and then I guess we, you know, depending on 1, 3, 7 on the B line there.
Okay, makes sense. And do you have a top pick amongst the 5, 6,
and 9? Five Bellamore was where I landed for the top pick.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna get a price on Bellamore. I like wet paint. I see the pace a little differently than you. Okay. I think there's gonna be enough. I think Hoosier Philly's gonna go from the outside. I think Hidden Connection's gonna go from the outside. So I think that's gonna make life. We agree in life being tough on Jagera, but I'm hoping it can heat up enough for wet paint's late run. And I know that was not a particularly good run last time. I just was willing to give a do-over because I did feel like there was an excuse for the Breeders' Cup distaff run being stuck down inside on a day where it didn't seem like the rail was the place to be. And I was just thinking that she looks to be training forwardly, has the back class, and might just get the setup. And I think you might get the 7-2 with all the money that's going to go to Jagera and to Scylla. Scylla makes perfect sense to me, just brought along slowly by Mott. I thought, I know what you're saying. She didn't exactly pull the rider into the race there. But in the end, when she started running, she really finished up well. So I think she's probably just a Mott coming along slowly that might be ready for a bigger test. And my gut on her is that she eventually might end up being better than the famous brother Tacitus, for who, as much as people make fun of him, is actually a pretty decent horse, all things considered. This horse, she has room to improve. And in the hands of another trainer, I might take the cynical view based on some of those cues you've noted in the races, but I think she could be able to take another step forward. So I'm going to mainly mess around with the 3 and the 7. You're a lot spreadier in race 8 as we move on to race 9, the 3-year-old fillies in the Regret Stakes. We're on the turf. I'm expecting a fast pace from the likes of Poolside with Slim. I thought this could really set up nice for Dancing in Dixie, this Florida bred who's run 3rd in graded stakes 3 times this year. A couple of times has had setups, but I think we'll get another setup here. And I'm just guessing that, not looking to knock a morning line or anything, but I think 7-2, I think you're going to get more on her because I think a lot of money is going to go towards Buku and Way to Be Marie. Buku, I've always been a fan of. Maybe moved early last time, maybe didn't like the yielding. She'll be an A for me as well, but I was going to try to get a little bit cheeky and put the 4 as the top pick with the 6 and then backing up with Way to Be Marie, who I think should be able to hopefully pull a pretty nice trip from mid-pack and or just stalking Poolside with Slim. I hope she attacks early enough that it can set this race up for these deeper closers I'm looking for, the 4 and the 6. So I'm basically about the top of the market, but trying to shuffle them in an interesting order. You have anything a little bit more interesting in the Regret?
No, I completely agree with Dancing and Dixie. I think stretching out to the 9 furlongs is going to help. I've been a fan of this horse. I thought she had a rough trip in the Ginger Brew, and I couldn't believe that I was getting 68-1 on her at Tampa back in March. And yeah, you know, I got a thrill there. She was coming late, but ran out of real estate. I thought her race at Keeneland was really good, coming from last to, you know, less than a length off Buku. And I thought her last race was good too in the Edgewood. My only concern here is that I do see that. Have you seen anything about Poolside with Slim leaning towards this race or leaning towards the Penn National race tomorrow?
Oh, I had not seen that. I had not.
Because that would be a huge scratch if that one goes to Penn National, just because I think that would be where I would put Way to Be Marie on the A line if Poolside was Slim. I mean, I think on the outside, I think the 10 horse Faith Understood is going to go a little bit. But if you take Poolside with Slim out there, I don't think Way to Be Marie. I think she's either going to be, you know, on a loose lead or not pressured too much. And I think she could be a lot more dangerous if that one defects. If Poolside with Slim is in, I'm using Dancing and Dixie as my lone A. Putting Way to Be Marie on the B-line. And then also, I thought, you know, as a crazy long shot, really more so for bottom of the verticals. The three-horse, Gavea, the German bred, who won her first two races as a two-year-old, and it won in France and came to Churchill, ran a nice race. That was a strong, I mean, you know, she won that non-winners of two race. I mean, the buyer came back a little light, but again, I'm not too concerned about that as a two-year-old. Yep. And then, yeah, obviously something went wrong at Aqueduct where she ended up, you know, walking home. But I would not be surprised to see this horse take a step forward in this race. You know, she's going to have to really grow a lot to probably beat some of these horses that are a little more in form right now. But underneath at, you know, 30 to one or better in the Exacta trifecta, I thought she was a horse that certainly is going to be overlooked and certainly has a shot to
definitely worthy of consideration, because as you point out, those figures are 2-year-old figures. It's been forever. You know, when the slower horses beat faster horses, one reason is pace scenarios, which we talk about all the time. But another is they've just been away for a while and they're very young and unexposed. Gavea certainly unexposed in this year's regret. I think that's an interesting one. Maybe even to why not sneak on top for a penny, a cogent case made at 30 to 1 by Eric. Let's go to race 10, The Blame, grade 3 action and a big full field. I landed on number 2, Highland Falls, not just a hunch play for Billy Joel fans. Nobody was beating Skippy Longstocking the last day when he ran a hole in the wind. But this horse was 3 clear of third, making an impressive effort in and of itself. The form of that run is working out pretty well. Octane came back to score with a triple-digit buyer. Reincarnate ran so well in the Hollywood Gold Cup. And don't worry about Red Route 1's poor effort in the Pimlico Special. He was always up against it pace-wise there. Had a bit of a trip. It was just not his game. Stick a line through that one. I think that's good form. I think Highland Falls might be the fastest horse in the race. I think he's going to get an ideal trip. Stalking a fast pace from mid-pack, I think he's going to be seen to good effect. Give me number 2, Highland Falls, in The Blame. What do you think?
I'm with you on him on the A-line for sure. Everything you said about the Oak Lawn race, you know, Skippy Longstocking was just better that day. But I like what I've seen from this horse so far. You know, solid efforts in the big cap, solid effort at Oak Lawn. I think this is a little bit of class relief here. And honestly, you know, you look at the two Pletcher horses, I'm just not in love with either of them. So I thought Highland Falls made a ton of sense. I'll put on the B line here. I like that couple, Cagliostro for a Cherie DeVoe horse, I think is improving. I like that race. You know, again, just clearing the non-winners of one at Keeneland, but I thought that was a strong effort there, beating Dreamlike with the outside draw in that race. And then also, you know, Trademark is the kind of horse that just likes Churchill. I'm willing to forgive the Ali Sheba and the slop there. Effort in the Clark was really good this past year. Second off the layoff now. Could be a horse that could sneak in there, especially if they wind up going a little bit faster early on. Could be coming late. So I'm Highland Falls on the A line, and then Cagliostro and Trademark on the B for me.
Yeah, some good ideas. I like your Trademark idea a lot at 12 to 1 on the morning line. Definitely one I'll sneak in there. All right, 3-year-old colts in the Audubon Stakes. One for the Bird Nerds, going a mile and an eighth here. We've got a field of 10. This one I thought you could maybe get a little bit cute. Curious to see what you think when it comes to this all-stakes pick 6 at Churchill on Saturday. How are we going to get paid?
I'm going to be a top pick here for me is the 3 Cameo Performance. Really like that maiden win at Keeneland last time out. Obviously, you know, the word was out that that horse could run. That was not a bad field, you know, by any stretch. I mean these maiden races at Keeneland. And then you go back and look what Greenlight did in his next start there. If he came back to win by 10 lengths last week in the turf race. So obviously that could be one of those races where we look back at as, you know, seeing some pretty good horses coming out of there. You know, for that horse to be even money after, you know, it was a good race in Ireland on the poly track at 7 furlongs there, or the all weather surface there. But for that horse to be, you know, even money, obviously I think the word was out about that horse for Brendan Walsh. like the pedigree, the Dam La Moneda, really decent New York bred horse. Oscar Performance has been a, you know, everything you could ask for in a turf sire right now. I think this horse makes a lot of sense here. That's my top pick. On, and then I'll also put Cugino on the A line in here. I'll kind of draw a line through that American turf. It was just kind of, that was a weird race just in general. I thought his near misses, I thought his Transylvania race from post 12, it was really good. You know, I go back and watch that race. I had Neat that day, but I still don't know. I'm still not sure he didn't get his nose down. And then same in the Colonel Liam. He's been right there. I think those are the two for me in this spot.
Gotcha. I'm with you on Cameo Performance. One, that's the of the logicals. That's my logical A I put in there. But I'm just going to try to get a little cute, as I indicated, with a couple of others, starting with number 7, Rock and a Halo. This horse, I just really like his attitude watching the tapes of the races. Tricky trips and a hard trier. Did get a big setup last time, despite having some difficulty in the run. But I think we'll get a setup once again here. There's a fast pace, I think. Second time gelding should be a good price. And then the other one is more of an insanity prevention horse, the 10 Can Group. This is the horse that I actually picked in that American turf. And I agree, it was an oddly run race in a lot of ways. And I'm not saying this horse ran well, but did make a little bit of a middle move. And to me, looked to spin his wheels when he came off the rail late. In a race full of pace at a big price, I'm going to use again. 7, 10, and 3 for me to close it out. 3 and 2 for Eric. Eric, appreciate you very much. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you back real soon. And in the meantime, folks got to check out all your excellent work over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com and In The Money Plus, which people can find InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds like a plan. Take care, Peter.
And have fun at the ball game.
I will.
We're very excited to be partnered with Hawthorne Racecourse for this 2024 season. Large field sizes, including great turf racing, are back in action this summer at Chicago's hometown track. With a 12% takeout on win, place, and show wagers, Hawthorne has been quietly and consistently producing great cards, and horse players are starting to take notice. Be sure to check out Hawthorne this summer and take advantage of a great racing product at a great price. For more information, be sure to check out InTheMoneyPodcast.com/Hawthorne. Next up on the show, very happy to bring back a man you know from the fantastic work he does on the harness side, also on these airwaves, and over at In The Money Plus as well, where I believe he's going to have some special Sunday content this week for you. I speak of Mike Probosi. Mike, what's going on, man?
A bit everywhere. I am on the London Western Fair live feed tonight, so if you're interested in harness racing, their Cam Luck Classic is tonight, so I'll be on there from start to finish.
Awesome. So what time? What's the timing on that?
So I think the first race is 5:50 Eastern, and the big race should go off probably a little after 10 p.m. Eastern.
Right. How do they do that? They just they beam you in via a Zoom type program, and you just yap throughout the card?
Yeah, it's the track's in London, Ontario, so I'll jump in on Zoom, and Sugar Doyle is their announcer. They talk through several races, and he just goes on, get my opinions, and you know, we go from there.
Sounds terrific. Very, very fun stuff. Speaking of racing in Canada, we've got you here today to talk about Woodbine, where there are a quartet of stakes races on Saturday. We'll start with the Cartier, race number 5 it is, going at 3:08 Eastern. We're going 6 furlongs on the synthetic, and we have some old horses that we've talked about a lot on these airwaves over the year. What I was interested in at a big price on the morning line, tell me if you think I'm out to lunch here or might be onto something. Off a long layoff is number 6, War Bomber. But this horse has some good back form. This is a grade 2 winner who's run pretty well consistently before he tailed off at the end of last year. I thought War Bomber was a little bit interesting to get the kind of positive trip that that he's been successful with on the synthetic in the past. At 10-1 in the morning line, that looked like one I might reach for in a race where contention admittedly does go fairly deep. What did you think about this Cartier?
Well, it's interesting with War Bomber because he's entered in one of the other stakes of the day, so I think it depends on where he shows up. So he's also entered in the 9th race, which is the Eclipse Stakes, that grade 2 going on the synthetic. So he could end up in either spot. I do think that he might be a bit of a player in both. I thought that the 3, Candy Overlord, I know 9-5 morning line, but if you watch that replay from May the 5th, really got a perfect ride, but the horse was very game to the wire there. Faced Flag of Honor in there. Flag of Honor was never going by this horse in the stretch that day. So I think those two will fight it out again. They were both similar on the board last time. Probably will be similar on the board again here. So you won't be looking at a huge favorite in the three. But just given that race, I do think that this horse might be slightly better than Flag of Honor. So if you can get around 2-1, I don't think that that's bad value.
Interesting. Yeah, we're going with the top of the market there. We'll see where War Bomber shows up. It's kind of funny. I was thinking 6 furlongs more likely to make the comeback off the long layoff than the mile and a 16th. But then I realized it's not necessarily true. Even sometimes the shorter races can be more demanding in terms of like the top speed you have to get to. So we'll see what McKnight and the team decide to do there with War Bomber. You make a pretty solid case for those two at the top of the market in the form of Candy Overload and Flag of Honor. We'll skip the sixth and go right on to the seventh, where we've got grade three action in the Bell Mahone Stakes, the field of 10 going postward in this one. Mike, who's going to get the money?
So I know that these horses are drawn outside, but the 9 Forever Dixie, I think, is very interesting. Cassie shipped this horse to Gulfstream in April and was able to come up with a win there. And if you watch that replay, this horse really never looked a loser. I'm very much a long striding type and just sort of kind of takes her time early in races, but was able to fly late in there. Had a lot of success here last year versus Stakes Company. That race that she did lose, that was versus Boys and the Ontario Derby. So just completely tossed that race out. So I like the fact that they shipped, got a prep. Now they're back up here in a stakes race and should be an off-the-pace type that has probably a better kick than most of these. And then as a long shot, I do think the 10 Metaphysical is interesting. Got to the synthetic last time up here on May the 11th and was a winner. So it was close to the pace there. So got on this surface. I know the figure's a little bit light, but was able to win. Now right straight back into a stakes race and has some back class. If you look back, raced in the Dogwood last year at 3 and was second there. Faced a nice bunch in that Charlestown Oaks. So this horse has some back class. I think maybe finally has found the surface that she wants and could be a decent price. So 9 and 10 for me in that race.
I was less creative than you. I was going to go with Millie Girl, who will be among the favorites, if not the outright favorite. Just all this terrific course and distance form. Some of it going longer, but has won at the mile and a 16th as well, and has been very competitive going 7. So I don't think this will be too sharp for her. Question is, how's she going to be doing off the 6-month layoff? But Catherine Day Phillips, good in these categories, and I thought there would probably be enough speed to set up her late run. It's one of these ones where we have to see how the track's playing at Woodbine that day too. On a day tilted to speed, I would not be so interested in her as the favorite, but on a day where the closers have an equal, if not advantaged shot, I feel pretty good about the 7. I like your cases on the 9 and the 10, and I'll probably look to mix those in as well on my tickets. Let's move on to race number 8. We go turf sprinting. 6.5 furlongs for fillies and mares 4 and up in the Royal North, a grade 3 with a field of 10 for a turf sprint. Not a whole lot of pace necessarily, at least according to Timeform US in this spot. Mike, who do you think is your likely early leader, and who do you think is going to be there on the wire?
Well, it's a tough race here, and there were some horses that raced in Kentucky recently that have faced tough fields. As far as an early leader, you are right. There's not a lot of speed in the race. So as a horse that could be forward here, how about the 10? How about them apples? Has faced some of these in other starts. If you look back, faced Play the Music in a couple races in Florida earlier this year and was close up to the pace, was up close in a 6.5 furlong race last time. On the synthetic. So this horse has had speed going short, gets an outside post. And when there's not a lot of speed, you get a horse with an outside post, I think that could dictate the race. Now, it doesn't win very much, but has faced these types and could have a pace type advantage in here. So I don't mind that one. I do think, though, the other two favorites are fairly obvious. I mean, Play the Music, I mentioned that one. Beat How About Them Apples a couple times earlier here in Florida. Comes off a really nice win going 6 on May the 4th in a grade 3 there at Woodbine. And Husband Sticks there for Cassie. So one that's kind of obvious. And then Secret Money ran into Overcharged at Churchill. And we know how fast that horse is. Has I had a tough trip, I think, at Keeneland against Roses for Deborah. There's none of those type horses in here, but doesn't really win all that much. So probably needs a little bit of a setup. And like you said, a lot of these horses are from off the pace. So maybe that like a B type more. I'd be more 5 and 10 here.
Gotcha. I'm with Secret Money, and I'll make my excuse, and you can tell me if you buy it. I think those 5 and 5.5s are a little too short, and I think the mile tries have been a little too long. I think the 6.5 is what she wants. Her career highlight was probably the Grade 3 at Kentucky Downs, going 6.5, very differently configured 6.5 there at Kentucky Downs with the undulations, etc. But I think that might bring her forward, and you might get her back to her best in this spot. And I don't think, I mean, you look at that pace figure she ran in the race at Churchill, and that might even, that suggests she'd have the pace if they wanted to be on the lead. I don't think that will be the case. I think it's more likely they'll try to work out a pocket trip, maybe behind the likes of your How About Them Apples and Miss Speedy. But any which way, I'm pretty sure Secret Money's going to get a good trip, and I'm hoping you get a little bit of a drift in the price, because you're right, we're not exactly dealing with a win machine. The recent form is solid but uninspiring, but the ace in the hole to me with Secret Money is just maybe the distance being able to pull her forward. You think that's a reasonable case?
Absolutely, and she never really takes any money. I mean, if you look, she's right around 5-6 to 1 almost in every race. The last two races, she's been 9.8 to 1, 14.7 to 1. Always races well, always, you know, moves forward late. So I don't mind her. I think, like you said, the big bunch of money she did win was one of those Kentucky Downs races with those super inflated purses. But that longer distance could suit her against a lot of horses that have been going 5. And this Woodbine Turf course, 6.5, that's a huge turn that they have to race on, so could benefit her style.
We'll see what happens. Race number 9, the Eclipse, Grade 2, mile and a 16th. We mentioned War Bomber, 8 to 1 on the morning line in here. Will he or won't he? We'll have to wait to find out. But some other very big names for those who follow racing, especially north of the border, but really across the country. Got the likes of Get Smokin' in here. Tyson, a horse I've always liked, competing north of the border. Who's going to get your money in the Eclipse?
Well, and one horse you didn't mention was the 6 Paramount Prince, who won the King's Plate here last year.
Right.
So,
of course.
Plenty of speed to chase, and the 6 and 7 look like the speed in here, and I would think will take most of the money. So I was sort of drawn to the inside of the gate. Like you said, you always like Tyson. I don't mind this one either. It seems to be able to race at upper levels, loves the synthetic, and you know, comes off the bench, but looks to be working very well. And I do think the synthetic track moves him up. So yes, he has to face horses like Paramount Prince, but he's danced some big dances. I mean, he was 3rd in the Jockey Club Gold Cup after being bumped, basically hammered at the start. So to be able to ship down there and then ran into Zan and then the Woodward. So they aimed high last year. This is just a jumping off point, I think, this year. He raced in this race last year and raced well. Probably is going to be off the pace, and that's why I like him. I think he gets a setup with the speed of the 6 and the 7. I think so. He's the one to beat for me. And another one I think that has a chance is the 2 Skyrow. Comes off the grass, but raced pretty well on that opening verse. Horses like Carl Spackler, Talk of the Nation, those are turf horses. Well, this isn't a turf horse. I think that he excels more on the synthetic. If you look back to that Gulfstream race on March 2nd, he popped a 98 buyer in there. Well, that fits here, certainly, with a lot of these horses. So he's going to be overlooked. There's a lot of other bigger names. He stands to get a trip from off the pace. So he's sort of interesting to me. So 1 and 2 there in the Eclipse Stakes.
I have it in the other order. I do think Skyrow is the interesting horse. I like the fact that he's got recent good form. I just think could pull a really, really nice trip if they all go too fast. I like, it's nothing against Tyson. I kind of want to see one after 2 efforts that were clearly not his best. I'm just not sure if he's going to come back fully formed. This may just be a starting point. I do think he'll be bet. And I think you're right. Skyrow could get a little bit lost in the betting here. This horse who's been, you know, 20-odd to 1 the last 2 times. And you mentioned that big run at Gulfstream. Timeform had it even faster than that. The final rating upgraded for being close-ish to that pace, 121. That's like a 101 buyer. That would look really good in here, and I think pretty much ensures that Skyrow is going to be value. I hope they go hammer and tongs early, and Skyrow can get the perfect kind of inside-out trip. Maybe Tyson a little bit short can't quite beat him, but can get second. So we have our own ideas in some of these races. We have some real agreement here in race number 9, the Eclipse. So hopefully we'll end it on a winning note with a nice easy as 1-2 or 2-1 exacta.
Absolutely. I do think there's value here. The money should be spread out. So if we can get Skyro, that'll add a lot of value to those late multis.
Yeah, I think that's a horse. I think a few of these horses we've talked about that we like might actually go at better prices than what the morning line is. Hopefully that's the case anyway, for the sake of our bankrolls. Mike, appreciate you very much. And folks will look for you on the plus side. You're doing that special show for Sunday.
Yeah, Monmouth Sunday with Eric Solomon. So, you know, he's covering the Monmouth circuit for InTheMoneyPodcast.com. So it'll be fun to get him on.
Yes, he's actually on this show elsewhere talking Churchill Downs. I am going to do a quick little freebie show for Sunday as well, just highlighting three races. The much deeper analysis will be on the plus side with Mike and Eric. I'll do mine with Double D. He's got that good Monmouth institutional knowledge. So we do want to share that and help Monmouth out on the big day. But if you want to get everything we do, you definitely want to subscribe to Plus in themoneypodcast.com/plus to check that out. Mike, we'll be talking soon.
Thanks, Pete.
Don't miss out on another amazing contest opportunity from ExpressBet with the Belmont Challenge on Saturday, June 8th. Your $1,500 entry gets you a $1,000 bankroll and $500 to the prize pool, with prizes including NHC seats, a BCBC seat, a Pegasus World Cup betting challenge seat, and cash prizes as well. Play on ExpressBet or in person at Santa Anita Park. For more information and Belmont Challenge details on how to sign up, visit expressbet.com/tournaments. Last but not least, very excited to welcome in one of my favorite horse racing broadcasters, who I'm proud to be working with in a small way on an event she has been tirelessly putting together that's happening next week in Saratoga. We're going to hear all about it from Donna Brothers. Donna, how are things?
Everything's good, Pete. I'm super excited about Bellatoga happening this year.
I like Bellatoga. I hadn't heard that yet. I think that's good.
Yeah, my friend Laura Samiel came up with that moniker, and I like it too. I'm keeping it.
Let's steal it, with permission, of course. What can you tell us about this Embrace the Belmont event? First of all, what is it and when is it?
Well, it is on Tuesday of Belmont Stakes Week. That's June 4th, and it is at the National Museum of Horse Racing and Hall of Fame, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And the what is it is... It came about in a conversation with my friends, Laura Samiel and Rachel Dunn. And we were just talking about how we feel like so many people in Saratoga, the business owners and professionals of Saratoga, like the idea of racing, and they certainly do embrace the season. But a lot of that just is wrapped around sort of the fan base and how much money that brings into their businesses and into their economy. I think they like the idea of horse racing, but they don't necessarily understand it. And I had done, for many years, I've done a Kentucky Derby prep event as a fundraiser for the Backside Learning Center at Churchill Downs. And in the conversation with them, I thought, why don't we do a prepping for the Belmont Stakes event with a handicapping 101 component to it in the beginning of it, so that these people who, again, like the idea of horse racing and like horse racing can understand horse racing, so that when their customers are talking to them, their clients are talking to them in the days leading up to the Belmont Stakes and ask them, who do you like for the Belmont? They're able to talk about it with some basis of understanding and maybe even, dare I say, a level of expertise that they may walk away with that they didn't walk into the event with.
What I love about the event is it serves that function, but it is also going to be something for more experienced players in terms of an opportunity to see some pretty knowledgeable people talk, and also just a networking event. You've put together a nice array of sponsors. A lot of industry people are going to be there. So this is one, whether you're a local business owner and you're looking to get oriented, it'll be great for you. But for the likes of us, we're going to have a great time too. What can you tell us about the program you've put together?
Yeah, so let me just touch on the one thing about the local business owners. I can't tell you how many business owners I talked to about the event, and I told them what we're doing, and they're like, okay, and you're looking for sponsors. Nope, I would just like for you to come. Oh, wait, you only want me to attend? Yes, I will be there. They're so excited to just have an event that is for them. And so, yes, many of our sponsors came from within the industry. So different horse racing partnership sponsors and like different areas like that. But about the event itself, again, it starts at 5:30 with registration. 6 o'clock, we go ahead and kick off the welcome, the introductions. And then we do a little 15-minute handicapping 101 session that I'll walk people through. We have printouts to make it easy for them to follow along and also to take home with them so that if they forget anything, they've got the notes right there. And then we will follow that up with welcoming our handicappers. So we have Seth Marrow from Capital OTB and Acacia Clement. It's been Clement for a while now. So Acacia and Maggie Wolfendale, both from Fox Sports and NYRA. So we've got those three handicappers. And so once we welcome them on stage, that's when we just start breaking down the Belmont Stakes, who we like and why. We'll show a race replay of the Kentucky Derby. If Torpedo Anna runs, we'll show a race replay of the Kentucky Oaks, but also the Preakness and the Peter Pan Stakes, because, you know, those are always impactful races on the Belmont Stakes. And so we'll show those races and talk about what their takeaways were from them and who they like and why.
I love it. And I'll say to my audience, you know, obviously you can help us and be ambassadors there. You're going to have people around who are new. They're going to have questions. Obviously the team is there to field questions, but you can almost be like an ambassador and try to help just promote the relationship between the Saratoga community and the horse racing community, which isn't a negative relationship at all. But I think you're absolutely right, Donna, when you say there could be more cross-pollination and like true understanding beyond, you know, okay, these are our economic partners. We're really not sure what they're doing. I feel like the more integrated we as a sport can become with the Saratoga community, the better it is for everybody involved.
Pete, I'll give you a great example of that. My husband and I went to dinner last night with some very good friends of ours. They've been friends of ours for 10 years. Now, she was the head bean counter at Yum Brands before she retired. And he owned a company that did natural flavors and sold the company a couple of years ago. They got involved with Starlight Racing because of our involvement with Starlight Racing. And then they got involved with Star Ladies Racing. And now they own horses on their own. And so we went to dinner with them last night, and they're good friends of ours. If not for horse racing, we wouldn't be friends with these people, right? Like, we have this common thing that brings us together. And that's one of the things that we, meaning you and I, and other people who love horse racing, really appreciate about it, is that it really brings together people who are from such diverse areas, and they have a common ground, and it's a shared passion.
I think that's very well described, and the kind of thing we're only looking to build on. You mentioned about some of the industry sponsors. I believe our friends at Adelphi Racing are involved. 10 Strike Racing, going to be a lot of interesting people there. I'm very much looking forward to attending. And we should talk about the charity beneficiary as well. We're going to have Kim Weir on Monday to talk about that. But she is no stranger to our listeners, Donna. I often refer to her as the first lady of the In the Money podcast family. The first sponsor we ever had came to me asking about, hey, I heard you're doing a podcast on your own. Would you be interested in helping with a charity? And we've worked together ever since trying to help humans and help horses. And they're going to be a beneficiary of this event as well.
Well, and Kim, everybody in the industry who's been in Saratoga knows Kim's name, but they typically associate her with Thoroughbred,
the old place, TRF.
TRF, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, and she's now with Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. And I've been out to visit that facility, and the work they do with people who are marginalized in many different ways, whether it's because of physical, mental, emotional disabilities, because of trauma, whatever it is, the work they do with the people and the horses is nothing short of remarkable. And so, yeah, we'll show a quick little video about 3 minutes that shows a little bit about the work that they do at THS. And if everybody doesn't leave there with the same passion for THS that Kim Weir has and that we have, and that's why it's a fundraiser for them, I would be surprised.
I have booked a visit there over the weekend. Obviously, this weekend, not the ideal time to come if you didn't book months ago, but apparently people are going to be able to visit. The public can go and check out what's going on. They do a lot of the sort of rehabilitative work that you describe, but there's also a chance just for people to go and get up close to horses and experience some of those healing benefits in their own lives. We're going to be talking about it a lot more. We send them to the website or in the money page on the website. You can find inthemoneypodcast.com/horses. There will be a link to buy tickets for the event there, but that's not the only place tickets can be purchased. Where do you typically send them?
I tell people to go to the Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga website. I think it's thsaratoga.org, but if you just Google Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga, it'll come up. And then they have an events link on there. You just click on the events link. And right now we're the second event because they have another event that's actually taking place before that. But yeah, you just scroll down to the event and they have lots of events. They have some other great events too that people should look at attending. But specifically, Embrace the Belmont is the one we want them to look at today.
I just did a little SEO test and I just popped Embrace the Belmont into Google and it is the first thing that comes up. You can find it on Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga or Discover Saratoga or just saratoga.com. I'm really looking forward to this and I want to meet some listeners there. It's one of the most fun things we get to do out in the wild is have a chance to meet listeners, talk to them, learn a little bit more about our audience. So if you see me there, come and say hi. I'll be the guy in the hat.
Well, I certainly hope to see you there, Pete. You've been a great supporter of this event, but more importantly to me and in the big picture, a great supporter of horse racing. So I appreciate what you do.
That means a lot coming from you. I appreciate it. I'm looking very much forward to Tuesday. Donna, we'll be talking soon.
Sounds good, Pete. I look forward to seeing you.
That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Thanks so much to all of today's guests. We'll thank our founding partners, 10 Strike Racing, as well as our charity partner, Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. Make sure to get your Embrace the Belmont tickets. You can find them, among other places, in themoneypodcast.com/horses. Most of all, though, want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. The show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!